13. And the major part of the message will come out of Psalms 143, verse 8. Today will be a kind of a challenge to your salvation, and that's on purpose. God wants to do that on purpose today. I was thinking about last Sunday, we had someone who got saved, and I thought about how awesome it is for when somebody gets drawn by the Spirit of God to repentance unto salvation. But I always think about the people that were sitting around that person, no matter where we're at. I wonder how many people are going to miss heaven by a few feet. You know? We'll miss heaven just by the person next to them heard it and got it. The next person behind them heard it and got it. And they felt it, but they said, ah, not today. I don't want to give it up. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Are y'all there? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It should start out with examine yourself. Right? Test yourself. That's the better word, is test yourself. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. That's, once again, it's test your own self. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. That last part, except you, it should read like this, except you fail the test. Right? Except you fail the test. This morning I'm asking you, this morning we're under the microscope. Everybody sitting in this room, you're under the microscope this morning. Are you in the faith? Do you have Jesus Christ in you? I got the great opportunity to go on a hike with a man who works in the ICU. And he said he signed 120 death certificates that week, this last week. 120. And he said, the problem with most Americans are they're always thinking about tomorrow and never about today. They've got a plan for tomorrow, but they don't have a plan for eternity. He said, I share the gospel in the ICU because most people lose their vanity when death is at the door. Nobody cares. Nobody gets offended. Nobody goes and says, I want to sue this person or I want to get this person fired. When death's at the door, hope is desired. And when I heard that, I was blown away at how many days, 30 years of my life I wasted worrying about the next day, worried about life, and never knowing Jesus. Now I've done this examination in my own life. Take your Bibles, go to Psalm 143 and verse 8. I've enjoyed my time pastoring this church. I've enjoyed my time getting to know families, and now my family and friends, and watching kids grow up over 6 years. They went from middle school to high school to now about to graduate. Some that were in high school went on and out and graduated. And then parents and adults and senior adults, I've seen some go out into eternity, and I've seen some get a little bit older. My biggest fear as we enter into the gates of heaven, and I was really close to you here, and I'll never see you there. In that case, I failed. In that case, we failed. So today, I'm going to give you an examination. I'm going to put you under the microscope of yourself. The writer of this psalm, very rarely, David only done this a couple times, he put, this is a psalm of David. David, if you just read this psalm, you would think David was a weak man. You would perceive him as weak. You would think, man, this guy can't even hardly breathe without God.
It seems like he's so distraught and so dysfunctional and so weak and so needy that he needs God for everything. If you didn't know David, David was not allowed to build the temple of God because he was a warrior and covered by the blood of other men that he fought on the battlefield. He fought the greatest battle that was ever recorded other than at Calvary. It's David versus Goliath. The man was everything but weak and cowardly. But guess what? He did have a desire to lean on God for everything. And I'm going to ask you today to really look at yourself and ask this question. Do you lean on God since you've been saved for everything? Because that's what it looks like to be saved. You don't just get saved and write a date in the front of your book or Bible and say, this was the day that I got saved, and that is the day that I'm going to tell the devil, hey, look here, buddy, this is where it happened, this is how it happened, and we ain't got to worry no more. Salvation is cool. That is your birth date. That is cool. That is awesome to share. Please share it. Don't hide it. Please let people know about it. But praise God, I'm not going to tell you about August 28 of 04. I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about yesterday with Jesus. Because this is what it looks like when you're saved and you've been in it for a year, 2 years, 10 years, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, until the end of your life. Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. God, I get up in the morning. I say, God, I want you. Seeking him early. Seek him early in the morning. Some of y'all are sitting here right now. I can feel it. I'm not a morning person. That's okay, because guess what? Seeking him early, guess what? 12 o'clock midnight, that's morning too. Some of you night owls, when the clock flicks over from 11:59 to 12, you are in the morning time. So, I know you don't do it, but every once in a while, some of you crazies that stay up till 1 in the morning scrolling and stuff, why, you know what? You can check out a verse at 1 in the morning. You can say, I sook him early. I sook him. Paul and Silas was on the, when they were in the jail, in the prison, and they had been beaten, stripped totally naked, beaten for sharing the gospel, hanging over these four-point lockdown, and they're leaning over, and everybody's watching them and laughing at them and criticizing them. And all of a sudden, Paul looks to Silas and says, what time do you think it is? It's 12 a.m. Well, it's morning time. It's a new day. I can come to the Lord on the new day. First thing in the morning, they began to worship God. Golly, but we need to seek him early. I wish if anybody could ask me, hey, what would you do different with your life, Kevin? What would you do different? There's no choice of that. There's no chance of that. That's not going to happen. But I wished I'd have came to Jesus when he first called and when he asked me to do his work early in life. But I couldn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't surrender. He was pulling me this way, and the world's pulling me another. He wanted my attention, and the world wanted my attention. He wanted me to do cool things with him, and my friends wanted me to do cool things with them. I would get pulled in so many different directions. I remember going to church when some of y'all might have this problem. I really don't care about anybody else in the room at this point. I'm just going to preach the way God put it on my heart to preach it today. So guess what? I would go to church when I was like 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. When I was about 8, I would walk to church and go to church, even though I would live like the devil every day of the week. I would. It was weird. I mean, I was at home, my brother and me fought like cats and dogs. Me and my mom and dad, we'd fuss and fight. They got a divorce when they were 8. It was chaotic at my house. But on Sunday morning, the weirdest things would happen. I would get myself up in rural Polk County, Tennessee, and I would walk to church. And it's weird, because some of y'all are about to say, I know what's wrong with him now. Some days it was a Baptist church. Some days it was a Church of God. Sometimes it was a Methodist. And the really, really good ones were the ones that were storefront, and you didn't even know what it was. Just walked in and love on Jesus. And I would be like, man, this is exactly what God wants for me. This is real. And then I would walk out, and Monday I would go right back to my life. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't figure it out. And I felt so defeated. But this happened almost all my life. I would go to church with my friends. They would take me to church. They felt bad for me. The parents, I know what they were doing. They're trying to get that guy saved because he's ruining their kids' lives. I knew the plan. I knew the ploy. But usually two things, Johnny, was going on at those churches. Free food and girls. I'm in. And I would sit there and I would be like, man, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God would overcome me and I would stand up and the preacher or somebody would say, does anybody got anything to say? And all of a sudden, I'm blurting things out about God. Next thing you know, I'm on an altar praying. Next thing you know, I'm praising God. Next thing you know, I'm in the car riding home, and all my friends are looking at me like I'm like something at the zoo. Are you different now? Are you changed? Are you going to be a Christian? Are you going to preach? I'm like, no, quite the opposite. I don't know what happened. Let's get back to life. I joined the United States Marine Corps. Don't even understand why this happened. Right in the middle of the night, second night we're there. Does anybody want to be the layman for the whole platoon? I don't even know how it happened. My hand's in the air. You're going to pray and read a scripture every night before we go to bed. Awesome. Every day my friends would go, how do you do that and then you do this? I don't know. I'm preaching to somebody better than y'all letting on. There are some spiritual people in here, some holy, righteous people in here. You don't get this part of the message, but it ain't for you. There are some people in here struggling with searching for the Lord and being lost in the world, and they don't know how to get out. And I struggled with that for my whole life. And I wondered, man, why can't I just give it all to God? Because that's what Christians say, just give it all to Him. I didn't even know what that meant. And then one day, August 28th of 04, one day, it all come crashing down. Because you know what? Mama wasn't telling me. A preacher wasn't singing. There wasn't a song. There wasn't some message. You know what? The Holy Ghost of God came by and said, it's today. You're either going to accept me or you're going to reject me. And guess what? It's up to you. And this is the last stop. And you know what I did? I'm not the smartest person in the world. I am not. But I'm smart enough to know, you know what? I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of playing me. And I fell on the floor and I repented of everything. I didn't just repent of the sins that I thought I'd committed. I started repenting of who I was and who I thought I wanted to be and the sins that I was thinking about committing. I said, God, is this somebody you want? He goes, I've been wanting you your whole life. But you've given me phony and fake and halfway. On that day, I surrendered to God, and guess what? I want to tell you this. Everything changed. God changed most of all. My relationship to sin changed after that because I didn't have to have nobody tell me it was wrong. I didn't have to feel the guilt of my repercussions. I didn't have to feel like, oh gosh, I'm getting punished. I'm getting grounded. I'm getting this because I sinned. No, I got this deal. God knows about my sin. And I've offended Him, and I've hurt Him, and that feels awful, and I can experience Him. I love experiencing God, and when I don't experience Him, I run to Him. Seek Him early. Seek Him early. That's what this scripture said. David said, I look for you early in my day. Watch this. Watch this. This is so good. Cause me to hear thou in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Trust. Some of y'all don't understand what trust in God is. Trust is this. Well, I love this right here. It's more than you can see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. Amen. Because right now we're living in a world that we've got to believe what we hear. Is anybody having a struggle with that in 2021? Y'all are good poker players. I struggle with everything I hear. I struggle with everything I see. Everything we touch. We're sitting there going, do I believe it? Do I not believe it? Do I agree with it? Do I not agree with it? There are some of you in this room, I'm telling you right now, you wouldn't say how you really feel out loud because you're worried about the next person next to you, well, how they might perceive that. I'm not really totally against that. You know what? When it comes to Jesus, though, I trust Him more than what I can see, more than what I can hear, what I can touch, taste, and smell. This last year, I have been petrified in fear of what the future looks like. But then God reminds me, you do not have to worry about your future. I control your future. I have you in the palm of my hand, and you will not be removed. I trust in Him more than anything else. My whole world has been rocked. It's been turned upside down. It's been broken. It's been shattered. I've been on the floor crying, asking God, why did you allow this to happen? And He says, because it's life, and I didn't promise you on this life that it would go easy. I promised you that you have eternal life. I'm not trying to get you through this life unscathed, unhurt, or unbroken. I'm trying to get you to heaven where you can see who I really am. You were always going to die on this earth. You were always going to decay. You were always going to go through pain. It was going to rain on the just and the unjust. But praise God, Kevin, you have built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that will withstand the storms. Some of y'all are sitting there going, what's life going to happen? Guess what? When it all washes away, when it's all done, and you've drawn your last breath, you will walk into eternity if you're a born-again believer, and you will see the face of Jesus. And He said, I walked you all the way through. It hurts sometimes. Life ain't easy. And sometimes a little spiritual saying will not get you through. But God will. But God will. If you trust in Him more than you trust in how you feel, cause me to know, this. There's a better word there, teach me to know thy way wherein should I walk. Some of y'all are saying this. Some of y'all are saying, God, teach me, but you want to be spiritual. So, teach me and I'll just give me a better career. Oh, just teach me. Just give me a new word. Just give me a powerful word for tomorrow. Just get me through. No. This is what David was saying. David was saying, I don't want to learn just because I know more than the next guy and I can show out what I know in faith. Teach me how to walk. Some of y'all, right now, be honest, it would hurt you to make a good little prayer right here just to say this. God, teach me to walk for you. Amen. Teach me how to walk for you. Because praise it, some of y'all got the verbiage down. You just ain't got the walk down. You say all the right things. You just don't know how to walk it out. Amen? It's harder to walk it than it is to talk it. Three of you told the truth. It's easy to talk it. Hard to walk it. That's why you got to have Jesus. Listen, don't David sound weak. Don't he sound, God, teach me how to walk. This is a man who became king over Israel. This is one of the most feared men in the world. And he was saying things like this. God, teach me how to walk. God, I wish y'all would let me preach to y'all. Some of y'all are just so resistant to the word of God. Some of y'all are 60 years old, 70 years old, and 80 years old, and you won't ask God to help you walk anymore. You won't. What you'll do is you'll say, I've walked long enough. I know how to walk. Da, 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 da. I've been walking long enough to do it my way. Hey, why don't you ever come to God and say, am I pleasing to you? I'm saved, I'm born again, but do I please you, God? Teach me to walk for you again. Teach me not to be in control. Teach me not to take over. Teach me not to feel like this is all mine and I let God's name be stamped on it, but it belongs to me. There are so many things where I sit there and go, yeah, I've gave it all to God, but need to let somebody else touch it. Amen? God wants... He wants you to have your heart after Him. He wants you to be like, God, I need you. Even even when I'm in total, it seems like I'm in total control and comfort in my life. God, will you help me walk again? Teach me some new things about me. Give me a heart that's tender, a mind that's soft, to see other people. What are we going to do when we get to heaven and we find out that God was looking for us to reach the whole world, but all we did was just attend? Like that song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." When the saints go marching in. How many are going to be marching in because of you? How many of them are going to be, "Well, that person right there lived the gospel, shared the gospel, and presented the gospel to me"? And I know what the excuse is. I know. I've heard it. I've used it. "I don't want to beat anybody over the head with the gospel." Oh, don't worry. You're just patting them with the weather and sports and politics. You don't mind to pat them with the politics. Talk about the weather. Talk about how bad it's getting. But dare we hurt somebody with the gospel? Have you ever been hurt with the gospel? Did anybody in here get hurt with the gospel? It's kind of a trick question. I did until I found out it was the healing. I got hurt by it until I found out it was the healing. It hurt me because my physical man said, "I don't like that." My spiritual man said, "Hello. Hey, man, they're talking life here. And you enjoy death, but they're talking life. I trust you because it caused me to know that way wherein I should walk." Look at this verse. "For I lift up my soul unto thee." You know why that's different? You know why all the Psalms are different? Because they're not talking about you. They're not talking about the physical you. They're always talking about your spirit. You're talking about your soul. See, you can, I wrote these notes, and you probably won't like them because they're straight out of my mind. I wrote "cutie cute" on that one. I don't know why. I don't know why, Chris. I just wrote "cutie cute" right there, you know. Because some people, you know, they come to church and they're cutie cute, right? And everybody looks at them and says, "Oh, they're so cute. They're just super cute," right? And then you got super strong, stronger than everybody, tough, rugged, right? Then you got wealthy, rich, well-to-do, right? That's the people we got. You look at them, you're like, "Man, that's not their soul." That cutie cute is ugly, ugly. Amen? You ever met somebody that's cute on the outside and ugly on the inside? They come to church, and boy, they out-cute everybody. Matter of fact, they can out-cute everybody in every kind of sense. But on the inside, their spirit's ugly. Amen? Amen? You can't hide your soul from God. Amen? What you can pretense, you can put out strong. Some of y'all are putting out, "Man, y'all come in here, you're strong." Man, if the truth be told, in your soul, you're weak. In your soul, you're about to give up. In your soul, you would commit suicide. In your soul, you would give up yesterday. In your soul, you would have gave up on your spouse in a heartbeat. In your soul, you're not strong. Wealthy, "Oh, I've got it. I don't have to worry like other people worry." I think that might be the number one problem on Flat Top Mountain today. It is the number one problem up here on this mountain for us as a church. Because good people, are coming up here to escape a bad area. And they come up here and we're okay. We've got everything we need. And they're spiritually bankrupt. You're going up to somebody who says, "I don't need church. I've got a nice home. I'm hit off in the mountains. It'll be another 10 or 20 years before I have to move again. Because if that riffraff moves up here, I'll just move a little bit further away. And if they move right there, I'll just move a little bit further away. Next thing you know, I'll just move to Alaska and get away from everybody." Maybe, God just keeps moving your ministry next to your house to see if you'll ever walk what you talk about. "I love Jesus and I want to reach the world. God, I hate my neighbor. Why'd they move into this neighborhood? I can't stand them." You want to reach the whole world though. Argentina, South America, we're going to reach over there, we're going to reach over there. But you can't walk across the street and love on your neighbor because he's done something, he's made you mad. But you know what? You're a Christian and you can't get over it. You can't give forgiveness because God gave you all that forgiveness of your sin and is going to forgive you for your future sin. But you can't forgive your neighbor of anything because guess what? They shouldn't have moved up here anyway. That riffraff's getting closer. I hate to tell you this. We are the riffraff. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus. So I don't go to church. Well, you don't have to go to church, but you need Jesus to go to heaven. Amen. I lift up my soul unto thee. Verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Get saved and you're going to have some enemies. No, let me say it. Get saved and live for Jesus, you'll have some enemies. Some real enemies. You won't be getting in trouble for your consequences. You'll be at some real people who hate you because you love on Jesus. And it'll be okay. But every once in a while, you're going to have to run to Jesus and you're going to have to say, God help me. Because I feel like I'm coming under attack every which way possible, and I need you to help me with my enemies. I really don't even know what my enemies are sometimes. They form in the form of people, but I know it ain't people because the Bible says we wrestle against spiritual things in high places. Amen? That's principalities. Guess what, God? I know it's not the person, but God, I want to slap that person. Amen? I know it's not the person, but it's speaking for that thing. Amen? Help me discern what it is and give me protection. Watch this verse. Watch this right here. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee and hide, and hide me. Do y'all ever hide in Jesus? There's a better word there. Does Jesus ever become your refuge? Does he ever become your hiding place? Even from yourself? Because see, some of my worst enemies a lot of times happens right in here. Amen? I get in my own head and think too much about too many things. And it's not nobody else has to do a thing because I've already got myself in a bad place. And the thoughts are overwhelming, right? But guess what? I have found it's a really neat trick. If you will run into Jesus, the thoughts will go away. There's been times recently that I want to say this and do that and I want to act out here. I'm going to be mad and I'll make a plan. God, I hope I wish. Men don't really talk like this out loud, but a lot of times, like, I'll scheme in my mind. When somebody does something, I scheme in my mind. I'm like, ooh, I could do that and this and that and other, and they wouldn't even know it. Oh, come, God. Some of y'all right now, our preacher's crazy. That's all right. Y'all knew that when you got in. You think of little things you're going to say, little things you're going to do. How you going to. Anybody else do that? Yeah. Thank you. I needed that. But I have found myself when I'm in that spot that if I start talking to Jesus, and I'm not just talking about a song, but if I just start talking to him like, hey, Jesus, I really want to get him, you know, he will flip that. And he says, you really want to get him, start praying for him. And loving on them. God, you got to get the scripture on this. Like you're heaping coals of fire on their head. No, Jesus. I really do want to do the fire thing. I want to do that. I want to hit them with the hot stuff. Hit them with the fervent prayer. Hit them with the hot prayers. Hit them with the love. Love them. Have you ever made somebody so mad because you were super kind? That's almost worse. Amen? They start trying to tear you down and break you down, and you keep loving them and saying, I'm praying for you, and I love you, and I forgive you, and it's over, and praise God. And they're sitting there going, I'm going to kill you. Praise God. You just keep, and you really want to say certain things out of your mouth, but you're not. That's God. And here's another layer to that. While you're praying, get in the scriptures, and when you get in the scriptures, all of a sudden, God will take you on a journey and a place, and all of a sudden, you will forget that, wait a minute, all my plans have been destroyed in Jesus. Because all of a sudden you'll start to see the Bible is a mirror. and it's a mirror and a sword. And somebody's mistaken that because a lot of times the old Baptist, some of them, they go to work on you. They want to cut you to pieces. Amen. They want a sword fight. Amen. But that sword, it don't work on other people as good as it works on you. Because when I start going in there trying to find all the things that need to be done to everybody else, when I start reading it really good, all of a sudden I see myself and God shows me all the areas that I need to work on and that need to be cut out in my life and need to be fixed in my life. And if I can fix those, that person wouldn't even be half as annoying and as bad to me, because guess what? The things I hate about them is usually probably some of the stuff that I don't like about me. Some people you hate on is because you almost like looking in a mirror yourself, and they do the things that you do, and you're bumping heads against somebody that acts like you do. Man, I should just let that marinate. I will think about that for a while. I flee into thee. I hide in thee. Teach me to do thy will. Golly, bum, that should be your mantra. God, teach me to do your will. Teach me. Some of y'all, they're saved and born again. You say you are. You say you got baptized. You say you got born again. You say you walked to an altar. You say you got a date. You got a birth date. Praise God. Here's your prayer. God, your will be done. God, instill your will in me. Because I know what my will is. Your will's different. Your will loves people. Your will looks out for the betterment of everybody else. And there's people all over. There's three things that you can do as a Christian that are no-brainers that you'll never. So I'm gonna answer the question for about 90% of y'all. What does God want me to do? Here's three. Share the gospel. That's the only mandate heaven's given that's never changed. Share the gospel. Number two, take care of widows. Take care of orphans. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to get alone with God. You don't have to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. If you feed an orphan, if you take care of a widow, and praise God, if you share the gospel, you are home base with Jesus. Amen? Stop talking about, God won't tell me exactly what to do. He just did it. He just did it. He just did it. Well, who do I share the gospel with? People that love you and you love them and they know you care about them. Because when you share the gospel, they're going to say, I hate that she does that. I hate that he does that. But at the same time, they will say, but he does love me, or she does care about me. And they're only sharing it because they love me. But it is annoying. Amen? Y'all don't know that, but it's true. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Is he your God? Is he? Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Is he your God? Because if he's your God, you don't have to say if in front of God at all. If God really cares, why? If God did, why? If God, why is this? If he's your God, you say it like this. God, you did it, and I don't understand why. But I love you. And I'm having a hard time building back, but praise God, I'm gonna be here. Amen? There's been several times in my life. I'm not super spiritual. I don't walk in there and say, God, I understand everything you're doing, no matter what. Sometimes I walk in my prayer room. I get in my place of prayer and I say, God, I don't have a clue what you're doing, and this hurts. But I ain't quitting. I ain't giving up on you. I might sulk a little bit. Is anybody in here sulk on Jesus? I'd say, I don't know what other better word. I pout when I'm mad. There's two things I do. I don't tell Melissa. She ain't figured it out yet in 20 years. I get quiet and I pout a little bit. And I know some of y'all are like, manly man like you pout. Yeah, I do. I don't do it like, I'm like, why in the world? You know what I mean? And God knows that about me. God knows, oh, you want to be you wanna use a quiet treatment on me? That's what God will do. You want to be quiet on me? I'll be quiet on you. And then he knows who I am because I'm a big mouth, so I go back to God. I'm sorry. Please talk to me. Right? God, hey, some of y'all in here in this room right now, some of y'all need to hear this. Some of y'all said, I'm mad at God. Y'all act like God can't handle that. Some of y'all sitting back and going like, God, man, I don't know why you're mad at God. God bless God. He done the right thing. Hey, listen, go to God and talk to him. I mean, tell him straight. Listen, I've had my kids, Dad, I can't stand you. You're making me mad. And that's the stuff they say to my face. You know what I'm thinking the whole time? I don't care. Because what I know is I'm trying to do the right thing to get you to a better place. I don't have to do everything that you like to get you to a healthy place. Amen? I've got a bigger plan than just what you got going on. You can be mad at me, but praise God, you're still in the family. Whew. Just hang tight. You'll get over it. I'll help you right here. When, praise God. Hey, I'm mad God. You know what? When you really want God and you're hungry for it, you'll come back home. Amen? When you want to eat from God's table, you want God's blessing, you want God over you, you'll come back to God. If you really love Him, really saved, you'll come back. Your kids don't even stay mad at you long until they get hungry. That's what I figured out. Lead me into the land of thy uprightness. We know that. Verse 11. Here's the altar call. Let's all stand. Scott, come get us on. There's two questions I got to ask you this morning. Is God your God? Are you hungry and thirsty for Him? Do you get up seeking Him? Do you want His will to be done in your life? If that's not the case, you're not saved. You've got a profession and no possession. After God saves you, He'll possess your life. He becomes the ruler of your life or the Lord of your life, and He will do things in your life. He'll correct you for one thing. But maybe there's some believers in here, you're just as born again as you can be, just as saved as you can be. And this last verse right here is a good verse because David made this plea, and maybe some of y'all need to make your way either up on this altar or where you see it, make this plea right here. Verse 11 says, quicken me, O Lord. Bring me back to life. There, here's a better word instead of quicken. Revive. Some of y'all think, well, we've got to have a week to have revival. Revival starts in one prayer. One sincere prayer from the heart of a believer that says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For the righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Some of you need full-on Holy Ghost revival. And that would start from you coming up to this altar and saying, God, get my soul out of trouble and revive or quicken the spirit in me that I may finish well my course for you. Amen? Every believer in here is on a course for Jesus. Ask Him this morning as we bow our heads. Does He say?